I'm Katie Clark, and this is The World. Democracy in the African nation of Zimbabwe essentially received its last rites this weekend. The opposition candidate pulled out of the upcoming presidential runoff election. Morgan Tsvangirai said he had to stop his campaign because of violence against his supporters. As if on cue, police in the capital Harare today raided the headquarters of Tsvangirai's party. Meanwhile, the Dutch government says Tsvangirai has taken refuge in its embassy there. Journalist Andrew Meldrum spent more than 20 years reporting from Zimbabwe, and the government of President Robert Mugabe expelled him from the country in 2003. Andrew, let's try and pick apart some of what's been going on today, if we could.
That would be great.
All right. First off, what's the significance of Tsvangirai taking refuge at the Dutch embassy? He's not taken formal asylum there, we should add.
I think that it's a recognition that his life is in danger, that the level of violence, we have seen top MDC officials killed. We've seen the wives of top MDC officials killed. We've seen low-level MDC officials murdered. I think the death toll now is at more than 80.
Yeah, 86 or so and counting.
Right, and counting. And these are all confirmed, well-documented by doctors, lawyers. It's not just claims by a political party. It is well-documented deaths. As a result of state-sponsored violence. And so Morgan Tsvangirai knows that he is under threat, and he wants to be there to help lead Zimbabwe to a new situation.
Well, we talked about these raids today. Nelson Chamisa, who's the spokesman for the MDC leader, Morgan Tsvangirai, described the people responsible for the raids this way.
Clearly, they are very desperate. They're exasperated. And the way they are doing this is quite vindictive, and they've raided our offices, arrested mainly children and women. About 60 people were arrested and taken away by riot police who were armed to the teeth.
60 people arrested, taken away by riot police, armed to the teeth. Do these raids surprise you at all, or is this what we've been hearing Tsvangirai claiming that his supporters are in danger in Zimbabwe?
This is what I had expected. What we have seen is that many of the victims of violence, hundreds of them, even thousands, have fled to Harare to try and find safety. And many of these victims of violence, opposition supporters, had sought refuge in the offices of the Movement for Democratic Change, the opposition party, Tsvangirai's party. And so I had spoken to people, and there were scores of people living in the offices, and these are the people who now, 60 of them, have been taken away, as you heard, women and small children.
So what is the likely strategy behind Tsvangirai's decision to pull out of the election? On the surface, it seems as if President Robert Mugabe is holding a winning hand since he'll now be unchallenged. Or do you see things differently?
I do think it's different. I think that Tsvangirai has made a very principled decision on the basis that so many people have been killed. The violence had reached an unprecedented crescendo where we have seen wives of officials being beaten to death. The wife of the mayor of Harare last week was beaten to death with witnesses. Other wives of officials who had gone into hiding, the wives were taken from their homes and were killed. And five people were burnt to death in a firebomb. I could go on. They're very grisly murders that are well documented. And I think that Tsvangirai believed that he really could not countenance asking people to vote for him when it would be their lives at stake. The second calculation that I think Tsvangirai made was that everybody in Africa has seen the level of violence. There have been observers there who have already complained that the violence was just too much to bear. And I think he has made a calculation that they will not hold Robert Mugabe to be the legitimately elected president after these elections. They cannot say that these were legitimate elections, and I think that he believes that that is the situation. It puts the ball into the court of African countries, particularly South Africa.
African countries sort of taking up this call here, being outraged by Mugabe. We had Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice speaking out today. She, quote, condemned the government of Zimbabwe's continuing campaign of violence against its own people. And here we have the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Zalmay Khalilzad, talking earlier.
It's clear that the country is in crisis, a political crisis, a crisis of legitimacy. Without a runoff election that's fair, that people can have confidence in, the government cannot be legitimate.
What is it at this point that the U.S. might be able to do to have any kind of an influence here in Zimbabwe?
I think the most important thing is they're working in the United Nations and they're working with other African leaders. What he said was that there is a crisis of legitimacy, that Mugabe cannot be considered a legitimately elected leader with these elections, with the level of violence and many other discrepancies that we have seen. And so he is, in the United States, is encouraging other African leaders to also refuse to accept this as a legitimate outcome.
Other African leaders such as South Africa's Thabo Mbeki?
Absolutely. He's the big player.
I would hope that that leadership would still be open to a process which would result in them coming to some agreement about what happens to their country.
And then being Tsvangirai and Mugabe, I'm wondering how likely do you think that that is to happen, that South Africa can bring that about?
This is what Thabo Mbeki has been working on for several years, is to bring Robert Mugabe and the opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai together and to get them to talk, to reach some kind of resolution together. What Mr. Mbeki has been pressing for is a coalition government that the two would work together, most likely with Robert Mugabe still at the helm. Many people in Zimbabwe and elsewhere think that this will not work. This is Mbeki's kind of panacea. It's what they have achieved in Kenya, where they brought both sides together and have them working together in a coalition. It may not, it probably won't work, will not work in Zimbabwe. Mugabe doesn't want it, and Tsvangirai doesn't want it. You have two opposed sides, and also Tsvangirai's side, it's not just being stubborn. He's saying, we have a leader who has been killing people. Should he be rewarded by being the leader of this? And would this bring a resolution to Zimbabwe's crisis?
But in fact, we do have a quote from Tsvangirai saying that he would be willing to talk with the party of Robert Mugabe.
We are prepared to negotiate with ZANU-PF, but of course it is important that certain principles must be accepted before the negotiations take place.
What would those principles be, Andrew Meldrum?
The principles would be that that there would be a climate for negotiations, that there would be an end to violence against Tsvangirai and his party. And the violence, as we've heard, has reached unprecedented proportions. So there must be an end to violence. There must be a resumption of the rule of law so that the party can operate freely throughout the country and not operate as if they're outlaws and they could be arrested or killed at any time. So that must be established. Also, I don't think it would be talks, not talks necessarily to have a coalition government, but talks for a transitional period to set up the conditions for fully free and fair elections. That's what Tsvangirai wants.
Do you think at this point he's hopeful that something can still be worked out?
If he gets the backing of other African leaders and they say, Mugabe, you are not a legitimately elected leader as a result of this situation, then Mugabe will be forced to say, okay, I need to do something that will make me legitimate in the eyes of my African peers. And that would be to go back and have free and fair elections. And that's what Tsvangirai wants, because if they're free and fair elections, it's almost guaranteed that he's going to win.
Andrew Meldrum, thank you very much.
Thank you.